Mark Collier for Thomas Matters Radio. Back for a full year of podcasts, thanks to Omega Processing Solutions. They have been a huge help to our business in more ways than one. But they're a community supporter, a business leader, and thank you so much to Omega once again for sponsoring for Thomas Matters Radio. So when you're talking about Omega Processing Solutions, these are the types of things that you hear. These are the types of things that I hear when I'm dealing with my advertisers. Patty Horton is a business manager at Horton Family Dental. And I was talking with Patty the other day, and this is what she told me. Quote, when we were considering switching to Omega Processing for our credit card processing, our account rep spent a lot of time explaining the savings that we could expect and why. Let me go back to that. He spent a lot of time. He explained how to read the monthly statements and what process would be for switching. He answered all of my questions patiently and completely. The process could not have been easier. Let me go back to a few things. He spent a lot of time explaining it, and he was very patient. When you're dealing with Omega, you're going to get the same type of response. There's no high-pressure sales tactics. They are in it for the long haul. And if you need a credit card processor or, you know, a point of sale system, business funding, or gift and loyalty programs, that's who you need to be calling. Call them today, 866-888-9724, extension 7. Let me say that again, 866-888-9724, extension 7. Or you can go online, omegap.com, and check out what they have to offer. I highly recommend them. So today on the show, we have Superintendent of Fort Thomas Schools, Gene Kirshner. Gene is retiring on June 30th of this year. It was kind of unexpected. He sent me his resignation letter a little bit before he actually had it read at the board meeting on March the 13th. So we're going to spend some time with him talking about his time as superintendent, as well as a controversial bill which is affecting public schools across the state now, and that is the charter school bill, the House Bill 520. I say it's a little bit contentious, and I think Fort Thomas really kind of points a strong finger to that point, because our two representatives, one in the House and one in the Senate, in Joe Fisher and Will Schroeder, actually voted differently on this bill. It was generally a bill that passed with Republican support. Senator Schroeder kind of swayed a little bit from the party line on that. And, you know, I know it was something that he was hearing pretty strongly from constituents in Fort Thomas. They did not want public or charter schools. They did not want this bill to pass. But it did. It passed with a no vote from Senator Schroeder, a yes vote from Representative Joe Fisher. And so we spent some time with Gene Kirshner discussing both of those issues. I interviewed him in his office at the Board of Education building on North Fort Thomas Avenue on Thursday, March 23rd. This was our discussion. In a term that I used as palatial to describe his space. Gene?
Hardly palatial, Mark. Hardly palatial.
No, these walls closing in on you a little bit.
Oh, no. It's a great place to be.
If you've never been to the Board of Education building, it's on North Fort Thomas Avenue, right in the center of town. We are looking over the street on a second level. I see the studios of 33 North dead ahead. To the right, I look down and see the city building with the police and the fire. And to the left, I see the Highland building, which is undergone a big time renovation. Before I start the rest of the interview, Kirshner stops me and makes note of the incredible smell coming from Top This Donuts, which is hard to deny.
Well, you know, and I can smell the donuts from here. How much better than that can it get?
Well, it's a good situation, and we'll talk about your future endeavors here in a little bit. But first, what I wanted to do was discuss House Bill 520, which was the charter school bill, with the passage of HB 520 out of the legislature and onto Governor Bevin's desk, Kentucky became one of the last few states in the nation to add charter school laws onto the books. So what is a charter school? Charter schools are publicly funded schools that are run by outside organizations rather than a traditional school district and school board. They do not charge tuition, and those outside organizations enter into a contract or a charter with their authorizers, which under the bill, which would be the local school district or the mayor of Louisville or Lexington. And Superintendent Kirshner and I talked about that a little bit later in our discussions. Those contracts spell out what a charter school must do and how it will be kept accountable. Under the bill, charter schools would be held accountable to the state-mandated testing and accountability system, just like other public schools. So in general, charter schools are freed from some of the regulations placed on traditional public schools, with the idea being that it would allow charter schools to better innovate. So what happens now? Well, both that the House and the Senate have passed the charter school bills, as well as a House Bill 471, which provided a way for charter schools to be funded. Both bills are awaiting the governor's signature, and Governor Bevin has publicly backed the charter schools, so he's expected to sign it into law. Once the bill becomes law, the Kentucky Department of Education must come up with regulations on how to implement portions of the bill. The drafting of the regulations, which generally includes public hearings, takes around 6 months, the department said. So the bill is to allow charter schools authorizers to begin approving applications next school year. I asked Kirshner what his initial thoughts were upon the passage of HB 520.
Well, obviously, it's a bill that has tremendous implications for public education in the state of Kentucky, and there are certainly a lot of very entrenched, opinions on both sides, and it was a very divisive process, I think, as it went through the legislature, and as you've already alluded to, even our own, local senator and representative were split on their vote as it relates to it, and I think that speaks to the nature of this bill and the nature of this, the concept of charter schools. Kentucky is, on the one hand, one of a few states, I think maybe seven states, that has not had charter schools up to date, as of today, in the country. But, I think for good reason. I mean, our public schools really in Kentucky have improved so incredibly over the course of the last 20 years. I mean, we've gone from, in 1989, 1990, of saying thank God for Mississippi, to really being recognized as a leader in education around the country, and graduation rates up, percentage of students attending college up, just a tremendous. It's been a tremendous last 20 years in Kentucky as it relates to public education. So which really makes it sort of ironic that there's this big call, suddenly, for charter schools, and I think a lot of that is related to, quite frankly, politics in on the national level and at the state level, and certainly more specifically Fayette and Jefferson County. The dynamic that exists in those two counties of the state, where there are individuals who have been calling for alternatives for quite some time, and I think their lobby was a really important factor in the passage of these bills, and so the real target, and many of our folks in the General Assembly made it really clear that Jefferson County and Fayette County were the primary targets, for this.
And they were specifically named in that bill. I mean, they got their own little, part of that bill.
Absolutely. In fact, they were. There was so much concern on the part of the General Assembly, at least those in the General Assembly that supported the bill, that the boards of education in Jefferson and Fayette County would not authorize charter schools, that the piece about the mayor's of those municipalities being able to authorize charter schools was added, and it was, and that's really, and sadly, I think, is due to distrust. I mean, they don't trust. They just didn't trust that those boards of education would ever authorize a charter school in Jefferson or Fayette County.
So, just to reset what Gene was talking about, if we're drawing a parallel to Lexington and Louisville to Fort Thomas, in this example, Mayor Eric Haas would be able to oversee and basically step over the bounds of the local school board direction. So this was happening because the local school boards and the local mayors in those cities were not lining up ideologically.
There are some things that are problematic about that. However, I will say this, it is better than the scenario in which you have private entities with absolutely no connection to the taxpayer as authorizers of charter schools. Because here's the thing about that. You know, you elect local board members on your behalf in your community to levy taxes, right? Oversee those taxes for the benefit of children. You know, that's what boards of education do. And you know, they are responsible directly to the taxpayer. There's a direct connection. The danger, and this is where the nightmare really has occurred in states around the country that have sort of a wide open approach to charter schools. We don't have to go far. We can go right across the river to Cincinnati, where there's been case after case in which fly by nights, you know, have come in profiteers and have established charter schools. And the money has just disappeared, and then suddenly the school closes down in the middle of the year. And what happens to those kids? That's the sad thing. And we're talking about kids here. This is not widgets, right? We're not producing widgets. These are children, right? What happens to those children when that happens? That's what we have to keep in mind. This is about children and what's best for children.
So let's take a quick pause right here and talk about who can open a charter school per HB 520. Kentucky's charter school bill states that teachers, parents, school administrators, community residents, public organizations, nonprofit organizations, or a combination thereof can apply to open a charter school. When asked by his fellow legislators, Senator David Givens of Greensburg, a Republican, said that for-profit companies do not count as public organizations. However, the bill does not preclude a charter school from contracting with a for-profit entity to handle all the management or operations of the school. So how is this going to affect public schools? Well, opponents of charter schools contend that they siphon money and resources from traditional public schools. Superintendent Kirshner talks about that later in this podcast. While proponents say that the competition will force traditional public schools to be more innovative, exactly how any charter schools will affect existing Kentucky public schools is yet to be seen. But Kentucky charter school bill will require local school districts to provide transportation for charter school students, or else give a proportionate amount of its transportation budget to the charter school. The bill also requires school districts to grant up to 2-year leave of absences to teachers who choose to work in a charter school, among other stipulations. So will the charter school bill actually affect Fort Thomas independent schools? They are consistently ranked as number 1, 2, or 3 in the state of Kentucky. They are the envy of the state in terms of public education. The Fort Thomas Education Foundation mission is to give a private type education in a public funded system. Is it possible that this HB 520, the charter school bill, which has gotten so much attention in the media, won't affect Fort Thomas at all?
Well, first and foremost, I think there's some truth in what you just said. However, there are ways in which this could impact, you know, the taxpayers of Fort Thomas, and that a wise person once said to me, you know, show me the money, you know, follow the money, you know, how are you going to pay? You know, my question about the bill from the beginning was, how are we going to fund it? All right. The last time I checked, they're not printing any new money. All right. And there's been no talk about increasing revenue, right? And the people in Fort Thomas, the good people in Fort Thomas, already pay the majority of the cost of educating children. And we are so thankful. We are blessed to be in a community where people understand that the economic vitality of the community is directly tied to the quality of educational experience that exists here, all right? And they're willing to pay for that, right? And that's but that's a fragile thing. And to think that the state could in any way, you know, infringe on that and say, oh, well, these dollars, especially there was some talk at one point of local tax dollars being able to flow outside to other places and taking, you know, usurping essentially the authority of the local board of education elected by the people, right, for that purpose, and allowing those dollars to go to other places, that would have been an absolute disaster. So there were a number of things that could have happened that we lobbied very, very strongly against, and fortunately, the final version of the bill, some of those worst case scenarios were avoided. However, there still are some questions about how these schools will be funded.
So, how will charter schools be funded? Well, there's no specific language in HB 520, but there is a House bill separate from that that does spell out how it may be funded. House Bill 471 said that charter schools will be largely funded the same as traditional public schools, with schools getting state and federal money largely based on the number of students in the school. However, the bill said that charter schools do not get any capital outlay funds and have to give up 3% of their total funding as an administrative fee to the charter school authorizer. There are also a few other restrictions and stipulations regarding the funding for the bill, and Superintendent Kirshner talked about those as well.
And also, it talks about a formula for a percentage of the local tax dollars that would go towards that charter. And that at least keeps it within the boundaries of a single district. However, again, there's one pot of money, right? It's not getting bigger. We're currently funded. Public education in Kentucky right now is funded at 2008 levels. There's been we've lost ground essentially since 2008, because of inflation, so on and so forth. So with no new source of revenue, now we're adding new entities that will require infrastructure. They will require human resources, furniture, fixtures, books, technology, all of these things. Is that the most efficient use of the taxpayers' dollars when we already have a system of public education that, in my opinion, is really, really good? Is there a way that if we're really concerned about the children in Jefferson and Fayette County or, even in some of our urban areas, even in Northern Kentucky, is there a more efficient way within the structures that already exist to address the needs of those young people? And I think that's something that is lost in this just a little bit. I mean, I think if I could have changed it in any way, it would have been to get the General Assembly to look at public education as it currently exists and seek out creative ways to improve it such that those children could benefit, in a greater way.
So in an ideal world, this is not a political issue. But, I see things through the lens of a journalist, right? So if I see a press release that comes out that touts the passage of HB 520 as a success for school choice, those are the buzzwords that I hear, school choice. That resonates to me as, why wouldn't you want school choice? Do you think this bill is about school choice and talk about, school choice as it pertains to Fort Thomas Independent? Obviously they take a lot of tuition students as well.
Right. Well, I think it is about school choice, to a degree. There's no question about that. In places where charters exist, I think in an ideal scenario, they present alternatives for parents, you know, to choose, you know, for their children. And I'm okay with that. I believe in school choice. I'd be a hypocrite to say that I didn't believe in school choice, because Fort Thomas has students from 5 counties and 2 states that attend school here. So we are the poster child for school choice, if you will, within the public education sphere. But that being said, I mean, I think that it's important that if we're going to have these entities, that they are created in a way that's responsible. It's responsible first and foremost, because they're truly what's in the best interest of children, and that they're responsible to the taxpayers. You know, I would never be in favor of privateers coming in and seeking to profit on the backs of school children, through via charter schools. I think that would be an absolute mistake for Kentucky. And as I said, the good news, I think, about House Bill 520 is that, you know, we were able to avoid that.
So let's transition a little bit to some personal matters. And you had some good news. You announced your retirement on March the 13th. Brad Fennell, the new chair of the board, read your resignation letter to the board. You had come on in March of 2012. Mm-hmm. Lots of good things that you can kind of tout. But talk about your decision to retire.
Well, you know, I've spent 34 years in public education, and it's been an incredible career. You know, I'm sure that someday, you know, I'll look back and think about the highlights of that career, and certainly, I think front and center there is going to be my time at Fort Thomas. The people here from day one have just been so incredible to me, and welcoming, and sometimes when you're on the outside looking in, I worked in Northern Kentucky for 17 years before I ever came to Fort Thomas, and you know, the whole cake eater, you know, those streets are paved with gold, you know, all that kind of thing, you know. On the outside looking in, you know, you have this image of what it's going to be, but you know, I can tell you, from my first day here, people just were so warm and welcoming to me, and I think, you know, probably what I will what I appreciate most about my time here is that people will dream with you here. You know, if you dream it, you can do it in Fort Thomas. And as I look around at the things that we've accomplished, a lot of those things just began with dreams. And
well, let's talk about some. What are your your biggest accomplishments here? What do you look at during your time, 2012 to 2017, and think back and you think, wow, that's pretty awesome.
Well, I mean, you know, I hope that as you look around, you know, people can see, you know, things that we've accomplished. And obviously the most obvious things are, you know, the physical pieces, you know, that you see, you know, certainly finishing the Highlands, you know, renovation, you know, that 10-year process that began before I came here for sure. And, but finishing that off, I think in a fashion that people are incredibly proud of. I can tell you, all the time people say to me, wow, we're so proud of how that came out and the way that looks and the presence that it has as you drive down, North Fort Thomas Memorial Parkway. It's just an incredible facility, and really the things that we were able to incorporate into that that were not just upgrades and bricks and mortar, but we were able to actually take sort of the vision, the mission and vision of the district and incorporate it into the bricks and mortar in such a way as it presents opportunities for students that didn't exist before, you know, and there's countless things that you can look at, you know, the fitness center, the field house, the infrastructure that we created that allows this sort of robust technology rich environment that we now have. You know, on the Highlands campus, there are, you know, with the middle school and the high school, there are over 2,000 simultaneous users at any point in time during the day, you know, utilizing technology. I mean, it's a robust technology rich environment, and we incorporated that into the infrastructure in order to present opportunities for students that didn't exist before. So I'm really proud of that. And certainly, you know, playing along that same line, you know, the Moyer project, I mean, nobody would have believed that Fort Thomas would get, you know, over $20 million from the state of Kentucky to renovate and rebuild a school. I mean, directly, you know, I mean, that was, that type of state assistance is totally unprecedented in the history of this school district. And you know, that is a proud accomplishment, because, you know, it took a lot of effort, you know, a lot of lobbying, a lot of advocacy, and you know, it's so cool to see, you know, the local effort that we've put in, you know, here recognized, you know, and that's really kind of what won the day there. That's what made that happen. And that's just going to be an absolute jewel, you know, on Highland Avenue when it's finished, and people are going to be so proud of that. You know, and in Woodfield before that in 2013, you know, finishing that up. So all of the things that you see, those are investments in this community that ensure really, you know, the vibrance and the vitality of the community going forward. You know, the infrastructure is really, really important. But, you know, for me, even though those are the things people see, the most important things are the ideas, you know, which translate to student outcomes. You know, we went through in 2012, you know, a mission and visioning process in which we sort of redefined the direction that we were going as a school district, you know, and we engaged a lot of stakeholders in that. And we recognized the fact that, you know, in this community, it's really, really important to honor tradition, right? I mean, we are rich in tradition, but here's the thing. If all you are is rich in tradition, you're a dinosaur.
I think I've heard you say that a few times.
You are. That's right. You have heard me say that. And I can tell you, our kids, if I start down that road, they'll finish the sentence for me, the students here, because they've heard me say it. Because, you know, tradition is great. It's excellent. But it's the past, right? And in a world which is ever-changing, rapidly changing, in which our kids are going to have to compete in a global knowledge-based economy for jobs that don't even exist yet, rich in tradition is not going to be the thing that gets them there. It's focused on the future. You know, we build on the success that we've had in the past by you know, creating an environment in which it's preparing kids for the reality that they're going to inherit, not the one that we inherited when we got out of high school.
So your last day is going to be June 30th this year. Mm-hmm. The board is starting processes in place to search your replacement right now. Obviously, we can't talk about those in depth. But what's next for you? What's next for Gene Kirshner?
Well, you know, I'm not exactly sure what's next, you know, but something will be. I mean, I you know, I'm not a sit around type of guy. You know, I like to be engaged. I'm an advocate, you know, for young people. I'm an advocate really for this region, you know, and I'm sure that I will bubble back up to the surface somewhere in some capacity, you know, and try to continue to do, you know, pursue some passions maybe that I haven't been able to do the last few years. But, you know, I enjoy working. I mean, I really do. So this is really, you know, retirement is kind of a strange concept for me. It's one that makes sense for me, you know, at this point in time, you know, as I said, with 34 years in the system. But I really do enjoy being involved and being engaged, and so I'll find some different ways to channel my energies, and hopefully maybe a couple of good things will come from that.
So I hope you enjoyed the conversation I had with Gene Kirshner. Again, we had that in his office at the Board of Education building on North Fort Thomas Avenue on Thursday, March the 23rd. We talked about House Bill 520, which was, of course, the charter school bills, how it would affect Fort Thomas Independent, and then the decision for him to retire from Fort Thomas Independent Schools on June 30th of this year. If you want to listen to any of our podcast archives, you can do so wherever podcasts are available. That's iTunes, SoundCloud, Stitcher, right there on your phone or your iTunes device. Just search Fort Thomas Matters in the podcast section and subscribe to us. And not only subscribe, but rate us. It really, really helps other people try to find us. So thanks again to Gene Kirshner. Thanks again to Omega Processing Solutions. Once again, this is Mark Collier with Fort Thomas Matters Radio.